day. Praise Him, praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Praise is a beautiful thing, tongues that declare it. The righteous will praise Him. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful, such a beautiful thing. Beautiful diamonds that sparkle and shine. Colorful rainbows that glow in the sky. Full blooming flowers or candles aflame. So many beautiful things we can name. Praises that echo from infant and child. Praises passed on as the saints testify. Praise from the heart in sweet praise on their lips. What else could carry more beauty than this? Praise is a beautiful thing. Tongues that declare it, voices that sing. And when the righteous will praise Him, it's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing.
Praise Him, praise Him,
praise Him, praise Him.
It's a beautiful thing. Praise Him, praise Him. Tell of His excellent greatness. Shine ever brighter with tongues set aflame. Filled with thanksgiving that can't be contained. Smell the aroma of beautiful praise. Such is a fitting response to His grace. Praise is a beautiful thing. Righteous will praise Him. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing.
Praise Him.
Praise Him. Praise Him.
Praise
Him.
Oh, praise.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a wonderful. Go ahead and clap. That's okay with Pastor. It's okay with me. Wonderful to be with you here in Salina. Oh, wow, I almost forgot where I was at. We've done a lot of traveling. I'm not sure if that's me squeaking up here or not, but I'll let them figure it out back there. It's great to be here in actually a city. We spent a lot of time in some rural Colorado, rural Kansas, and we were thankful to be able to have the opportunity to bring our music to those rural churches, and that was a special blessing all its own. But it's great to be with you here tonight. My name is Heather Schaff. I am from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, where my husband John, we got some family pictures here, he is a pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church there in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. We have four children, Jacob, Reagan, Toviah, Brady, Drew. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I am a mother of a senior. In a few weeks, he's going to graduate. That's just hard to spit out and say, but I didn't feel old enough for that. But here we are.
And my name is Seth Peterson, and this is my wife, Deanna, and we're from the Dallas, Texas area right now. We're actually going to be moving to Wisconsin this summer to be working at a camp there. But we have three kids, so Kanan, Selah, and Laurel. So I'm glad to see all the kids here tonight. This brings back all those homey feelings.
And the Lord allows us to be able to, at the moment, Seth is working for Chase Bank, but like you mentioned, we're going to be working at the camp this summer. But currently, I also teach voice lessons at one of the high schools near where we live and teach privately out of my home.
Good evening. My name is Kristen Keekafer. It's so good to be here with you. That is a picture of my family. That's my husband, Adam. And we have three children, Ames, Timothy, and Kendall. And we live in Hartford, Wisconsin, which is the southeastern part of Wisconsin, kind of near Milwaukee. And my husband and I are both very involved musically with a lot of things, job and hobby and you name it. So it's good to be here.
For those of you who are not as familiar with the Forever Be Sure music ministry, I'll just give you a little snippet of who we are, how we started. Back in 2006, so about 16 years ago, my sister, Heidi, my only sibling, my only sister, wrote a song. And so she played it for my family at a family gathering, and I was blessed by it. It was written out of a hard time in her life, but I was also inspired by her initiative. And I thought, hey, I love poetry. I loved poetry as a child. I love music. Graduated from a Bible college with a Bible and music degree. I would like to try this myself. And so at that family gathering, we decided to kind of work on music writing, original compositions, whether they be arrangements of familiar hymns or all original lyrics and music. And so it didn't take long for it to become a real passion of mine. And fast forward 16 years later, here we are. The Lord has been continuing to fuel our ministry with encouragement from the people of God. And it's just a blessing to see how he provides. We've traveled all over the United States. We even got a call from Hawaii a few years ago and prayed about that for about 2.5 seconds and said, sure, we'll come. So that's been a special privilege to be able to just take our music on the road. It amazes me that people come to hear the music that we've written. So thank you for coming out tonight on a Friday night. This next song that I should back it up. I'm getting a little confused here. I am on the same journey you're on if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. There's ups, right? There's mountaintop experiences in the Christian life. And there's a lot of valleys as well. Perhaps we're kind of on our way up or down, right? Wherever we're at in our spiritual journey. So I write songs on the mountaintops. I write songs in the valleys. So all of these songs, it's like a spiritual diary of mine. And in fact, Kristen has started to write for our ministry as well. So she will be sharing a song that she has arranged as well. This next, as I was thinking through this upcoming tour, I thought, Lord, I want to share testimonies out of my abundance, things that I'm excited about in my Christian walk. And there was two things that immediately came to mind. And the first was, I'm so thankful, even more recently, for my local church. We've been in Eau Claire for 14 years, and I couldn't say this a few years ago, but I'm just so thankful for how God leads a congregation of people, and he connects them, and he grows them, and he's doing that at my church. And it is exciting to be a part of. One of my favorite things, of course, we love it when visitors come through the door. But then, you know, they'll come 3 weeks in a row, and my husband says they've graduated past visitor status. They're no longer visitors. And then, of course, it's always exciting when they become members and become a part of our body. And one of my favorite things that happens at my church, but also even throughout my whole life, is whenever somebody gets up to share their personal testimony. I love it. I don't care how boring your testimony might be. It might be, you know, exciting, God drew me out, or even as we talked with a pastor's wife tonight, Debbie, how God saved her and her husband when they were adults. I love those stories. I just love to hear stories of salvation. And my story, I would consider to be one of those, you know, more boring ones, but in reality, they are all a miracle. Because at any point, God has to take the blinders off of your eyes and show you that he is who he says he is in his word. And that is a miracle whether you're a 5-year-old, a 50-year-old, or a 95-year-old. And we're going to sing about that right now. This next song is called, He Revealed It to Me.
Thousands of wonders in thousands of ways, such marvels the thousands would see. But only a miracle hid from the eyes could ever cause one to believe. I partook of the fish and the bread. I watched as demons would flee. Deep in my heart, I confess Jesus Christ, and this is why I believe. He revealed it to me. Yes, he revealed it to me. Flesh and blood could never persuade my blinded heart to believe. Thousands of blessings indeed, for he revealed it to me. persuade my blinded heart to believe. But I am blessed, wonderfully blessed, with thousands of blessings indeed. For he revealed it to me, yes, he revealed it to me.
So I wonder, how many of you has your life turned out how you planned it would? Yeah, right. I see heads shaking and laughter. It's because we all know that it just doesn't happen, right? We go in, I think, with the best intentions and dreams, and then the Lord sometimes just redirects us. And I think we have a choice to follow, or we have a choice to rebel, and then he has to bring us back and discipline us. I enjoy being in different churches because I love seeing different faces, because I know that behind every face is a different story. And it's a story that God is writing and has completed writing that story. But for us, we don't see that story to completion yet, right? And we don't know what the ending is going to be. About 8 years ago, my husband and I was pregnant and had some blood work done, like every mother does when they're going to have a baby. And I remember after I got home after that blood work, I remember getting a phone call from the doctor. And the doctor said, we found some abnormalities in your blood work, and we believe your baby has a neural tube defect. And I remember, I think we all have those points in our life where the Lord brings us to the Red Sea, right? I remember that being a moment in my life where I was scared. They said, we need you to come in for an ultrasound so we can just check. So I did that. My husband and I were there, and I was laying there. They were taking the pictures that none of us know how to read, except very highly trained people. And I remember as we were laying there, two doctors came back in the room, and they said, your daughter does have severe spina bifida, and she most likely won't be able to walk, and she has hydrocephalus, so she has water in the brain, or fluid. And they said, one of our options right now is, you're 20 weeks, we could abort the baby. I remember that hitting me really hard. And I remember my husband and I telling the doctor, well, it's not an option, because we believe that God has made her to be exactly who he wants her to be, and that she's going to glorify him in a way that none of us, I can't. Just like you can glorify God in your story in a way that I can't. And I remember when this was all said and done, the words of Psalm 139 came back into my heart. I had memorized it in my Christian school as a third grader. I remember the words, I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. The next verse is sweet. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. How great is the sum of them? Do you think about that? He thinks about us daily, moment by moment. I remember on our way back from church before that ultrasound, it was going to be the next morning, I was sitting in the passenger seat. My husband and I were coming home from a Wednesday night service. And I said, what if
there's something very wrong with her. And what if she doesn't make it? And he said, you know, Kristen, I fully believe that something will be wrong. But we have a God who's God of all. And it's okay. The next song we're going to sing is It Is Well with My Soul.
Like a river attendeth my way.
I also grew up in a Christian home, and I was saved at the age of 5. And like Heather was saying, sometimes you can consider that maybe like a boring testimony. There wasn't like this huge miraculous change that I saw. But I am so thankful that I have a Heavenly Father who didn't just leave me as that little child. My mom jokes, I don't know, but Seth laughs at it because he doesn't think it's true. But my mom says that I was the perfect baby. And the youngest of 5 and the easiest and all this kind of stuff. And Seth knows, yeah, obviously there was a sinner, but there at 5, even at 5. but I'm so thankful that my Heavenly Father sanctifies me. In Hebrews 12, it talks about how an earthly father disciplines his son, does the best he can to train his child. And Amanda, for us as young parents, our oldest is almost 5. Man, we sure need a whole lot of wisdom to know how to discipline our children. We pray about it all the time, and there's many times that we do it wrong. But I have to keep continually making sure that I'm disciplining my child when necessary because I want them to grow up to know the difference between right and wrong. I want them to know that there's consequences for sin. And I'm so thankful that, like Hebrews 12 talks about, is that discipline for us as a believer, that's a mark that I am God's child. And the next song we're going to sing talks about some of that discipline. It talks about how there is pain, there are trials that we go through, there are hardships, there are things that are thorns in our life that kind of stick with us. But I'm thankful that it is because Christ is wanting to make me more like him that he gives us those trials. And I know if you are a child of God, you know that discipline, because God doesn't leave us alone in our sin. He does not. And so I think you can maybe sing this song along with us of being thankful for the discipline of the Lord and for his chastening, for sanctifying us, and through that, showing us his love.
Thank you, loving Father, ever wise, for the ways that you faithfully refine.
hand has reached this heart of mine.
Thank you for the pain of chastening blows, for the shame when my sin has been exposed, for the sting of rebuke for bringing me low, this gift of discipline that marks me as your own. Thank you for the walls that close me in, for the walls that surround my suffering, for the walls that enclose me behind and before. These walls you fashioned with a love that won't let go. Thorns that never leave, thorns, thorns that have pushed me to my knees, for the thorns that will cleave to the worn and the weak, these thorns to teach me that your grace is all I need. Oh, thank you for a love so high, so great, for a love that does not withhold the pain. Faithful love of a father's patient pursuit, this love, relentless to redeem, restore, renew. I'm thankful so much for Christ's love, and that it's so different from my own love. I can think of many times when I've messed up in not loving people. I'm going to switch hands here. I always read scripture from my phone now because I kept getting it wrong, so I don't want to do that again. God's love is so different than ours. And in fact, I wanted to keep this in front of me, so I actually put a verse on the wall in my office at the church I worked at just to remind me to love people around me, because it's so hard to love things that aren't beautiful. I don't know about you, but I'm naturally drawn to things that are perfect, things that are in order, things that are not like my kids screaming through the house. So we have three kids. The oldest is four, and he's the instigator. I don't think he's trying to be bad, but he just does things. So you'll come home and not be coming home from work, I'll come into the house and he's just yelling around the house, trying to act like an animal. All animals sound the same when you're four, by the way. Like, it's just kind of like okay, and that could be a monkey, a giraffe, it doesn't matter, but they're doing that. And my middle child is the one that doesn't want him to do anything, so she's like, Kanan, stop, Kanan. And she's following him around. And my youngest, too, she just follows around and she can't say anything and she just copies whatever he's doing. So it's like it's a monkey house going on. And there's times where I'm just not ready for that. You know, I just want peace and quiet. I want things to be right. There's times in working in a church. Churches are messy, right? And you would think that that'd be the most loving place. But it's not always so. Sometimes people say hurtful things. Sometimes people don't respond right to things. And it's hard to love people like that. So I'm thankful that Christ has given us a good example. It says in John 13, it says, Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was to come and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which are in the world, he loved them unto the end. Man, and I don't have anything on what Jesus was going through, the pain that he was doing, but yet he still was able to love a people to the end. So the next song that they're going to sing just reminds me that even when it's not easy for me to love people, that I can't do it in my strength, but God can help with that.
I can't, but you can. I fall, but you stand. I am empty. I have no love to give, no time for the unlovely, no grace to cover sin. When people press around me, my patience running thin. I need your compassion to flow from deep within. Lord, I can't, but you can. Lord, I fall, but you stand. My fountain runs dry, but you're the wellspring of life. When I lack, I look up. I confess I'm not enough, so I'll take from your hand. Lord, I can't, but you can. You can, you can.
I need wisdom to light the clouded path. You offer it so freely to all the ones who ask. It's not within me to know the way to go. So Jesus, pour your wisdom down deep within my soul. Lord, I can't, but you can. Lord, I fall, but you stand. My fountain runs dry, but you're the wellspring of life. When I lack, I look up. I confess I'm not enough, so I'll take from your hand. Lord, I can't, but you can. I need courage. This mountain is too high. These valleys are too low. The sea is far too wide. It's far too wide. But I'm leaning to the promise that I am not alone. So I'll keep walking, and in your strength I'll go. But in your mercy, you open up good eyes. And now I know where the power really lies. Power really lies. Lord, I can't, but you can. Lord, I fall, but you stand. My fountain runs dry, but you're the wellspring of life. When I lack, I look up. I confess I'm not enough. So I'll take from your hand, Lord, I can. But you can, I can't, but you can, you can. I fall, but you stand. Lord, I can't, but you can. Lord, I fall, but you stand. My fountain runs dry, but you're the wellspring of life. When I lack, I look up, I confess I'm not enough. So I'll take from your hand.
I'll take from your hand, Lord, I can't, but you can, you can, you can.
Well, I didn't know we were going to get a light show today, but this is kind of exciting. We're going to actually invite you to join with us. Maybe we'll sing so loud they'll just all go off and we'll just sing in the dark. That's fine. We'll sing when it's on or off. Another thing that was I thought of as I was thinking about the things that I could share out of abundance this tour was I have decided to do something this year I haven't done in probably over two decades. I just turned 40, and I have shied away from doing a read-it-through program in my Bible for
well, decades, like I said. I'm not sure when the last time I had, and the reason why is because I am a laboriously slow reader. I just want to soak it all in. I want to understand it. I want to feel it deeply, and so I have had my devotions very faithfully through the years, but I have never read through the whole Bible in a long, long time. And what really prompted me was a podcast that I was listening to recommended a 5-day-a-week program, and I'm like, hey, 2 days of grace? I might be able to do that. And so I have found it so rich, so, so rich. If you have not yet done that in a few decades like me, I would highly encourage you to do that. It has given me a broader scope of how it's all one story. In fact, in this Bible reading program, they have me going through the Old Testament. Then we hop over to the New Testament. A lot of them do this, I know, and also in the Psalms. And I am just blown away over and over again how connected the Bible is. And it's just, well, it's written supernaturally. It's written by God, and it is thrilling me. The Bible says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your law. And I am in wonder many times. And one of the things that has stood out to me as I was reading through the real rough book of Leviticus, right? Deuteronomy and all those laws, and you kind of think, oh boy, this is going to be such a chore. But, you know, you kind of go through it so fast with my reading program that it doesn't seem that much of a chore. But it has also fascinated me because in the Old Testament, it is emphasized to no small degree how you must bring a unblemished lamb or unblemished sacrifice over and over and over again, how very important that was. And in fact, I think there was some severe consequences should you bring a lamb with blemish and with spot. And not only, you know, I think perhaps in my childhood I thought that was because you should only bring God your very best. And perhaps that's a reason why, of course, that would make sense. But it made so much more sense to me as I was reading how Christ became our perfect and spotless lamb and how all of those sacrifices were only there to point to the once and for all sacrifice of my Savior Jesus Christ, who was spotless, because if he had even one blemish, he would not be a worthy sacrifice, a once and for all sacrifice. This next song is an old familiar hymn. If you've been in church at all for any length of time, you probably have sung this one. And if you've been in church for a long, long time, it's perhaps one of your favorite. Hallelujah, what a Savior. This line says, guilty, vile, and helpless we. That's me and you before Jesus Christ. The second line, spotless Lamb of God was he. I'm so thankful for a spotless lamb. I'm so thankful that he came to save me from my guilt, from my helplessness. We are going to invite you, if you're able, to stand, not now. Seth will raise his hand and invite you at the proper time. But verses four and five of this familiar and loved hymn, Hallelujah, What a Savior.
Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, 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 what a Savior.
What a Savior,
what a Savior,
what a Savior.
with me? Let's sing together if you're able.
Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a
be seated.
Well, at this time, what we'd like to do is take up an offering. You know, the church has covered some of their expenses, but at the same time, a laborer is worthy of his hire, and we'd like to bless Forever Be Sure, just as they've been a blessing to us. And so as the Lord leads, we have this opportunity now to give, and everything that's taken up here at this offering will go directly to Forever Be Sure to help cover their costs and be a blessing to them and their ministry. So we'll have the men come forward now, and we will have an offering plate that we can pass, and this will be our opportunity to give to the ministry of Forever Be Sure. Let's have a blessing on our offering we'll take up. Father, we thank you for the blessing of what you have brought to us here through the group Forever Be Sure, and the songs that are written, and thank you, Lord, that they lift up our hearts and the gift of music that you've given to us. And we pray for their ministry, that you would keep them safe as they travel, that you would use them to bless others as they desire. You've given them this burden for this ministry, and Lord, we pray that their needs would be met, and Lord, the blessing would be shared as their cup runs over, that we would be able to bless them with this gift. And thank you that all of our cups run over. You give more than what we need, and we always have this extra, it seems. And Lord, we give in abundance to what you have blessed us with. And so bless this offering as it's taken up. Lord, may you be honored with it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, in the middle of our program, which this is, I like to have a little bit of comic relief, shall we say. I was actually excited when Pastor shared with me that our music ministry is largely new to most of your congregation. So that is good, because perhaps this video will be brand new to you. but my biggest passion in our music ministry is to take God's words and his thoughts and the way that he's applying them to my life and put them into song. And so I've been reading through the book of Proverbs, and I don't know about you, but some of those Proverbs I find kind of humorous when you just kind of envision them. I mentioned my husband is a pastor. He's a very, very fine preacher at that. But a few years ago, he enjoyed sharing with me a verse on my not-so-finer moments that we women all know and love, right? Proverbs 27:15, a continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. So what is a songwriting wife supposed to do except for write a song about that precious truth? And that's exactly what I did a while ago, and it was the fastest song I've ever written. Just came so fast. I named it the Drip Drip Song, and we recorded it, had a lot of fun with that, and then I thought, I can't just leave it at that. I need to buy some wigs and act this out. And so I did that, and I made perhaps one of my first YouTube videos. And so for tonight, for your audio and visual pleasure, we would like to introduce the Drip Drip Song.
Away. I'm dreaming. He will put his socks away.
I'm
constant dripping, drip, drip, dripping, drip, drip. The contentious woman is a constant dripping, drip, drip, dripping, drip, drip. The contentious woman, the contentious woman, the contentious woman. The contentious woman is a drip, drip.
We have four young, lovely ladies here in the front here. That is an example of what not to be. Just, you know, don't be like that, okay? I travel on about five of these trips a year, week-long trips, and then God has given us a wonderful pool of musicians, some of which travel two of those weeks, three of those weeks, and kind of fill it in and out. And so for me, one of the exciting things, I just love to insert new songs into the program. And so for this particular tour, we've inserted three of them, this next song being one of them. When I moved to Eau Claire, Wisconsin about 14 years ago, I was from Minnesota originally, and Minnesota has a beauty all its own, I'll say that. But when I moved across the border, I thought, wow, this is really pretty. I still think Wisconsin might have it on Minnesota. But it's very, very hilly, probably more hilly than what I remembered Minnesota to be. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun in Eau Claire, where there's a lot of hills, to live in a home just kind of nestled into one of those hills? Because I had seen that. I'm like, that would be kind of neat. And sure enough, as the Lord would have it, that's exactly where we are. We're in a neighborhood, but we're on a hill, like about halfway up, in a cul-de-sac nestled into one of the hills of Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And I think it's just beautiful. In fact, my bedroom is like a little treehouse. When I get up in the morning, and especially in the summer, you look out, and it's just green everywhere, and it's just so pretty. I'm not really an animal lover, or I wasn't, but there's plenty of critters in my backyard. And I don't have a big backyard, but it shoots right up into one of the hills, like 45-degree angle, okay? So we're talking, like, dangerous to climb. But we decided we wanted to kind of scout out our property when we first bought it, and so me and my husband and my two young children hiked all the way up that hill and back. And is, you know, we made it back in one piece. But if anybody were to, you know, just nudge us slightly, we could have toppled. But anyway, fast forward, you know, we moved into the house. And as I looked out those windows, we would often see a family of deer. And I counted one time, and I'm pretty sure there was at least 20. I might have stopped counting at 20. Big, beautiful, stately animals. They eat my plants, but I figured out which ones they don't eat, so that's what I plant. And I don't mind that they're back there. I love watching them. Sometimes they're walking, and sometimes, I don't know why, they're being chased by a bear. I've never seen a bear. But they have never once, you know, just biffed it. I've never seen them fall. They run so gracefully and so sure-footedly. And so that's why, as I was reading in Scripture, this particular verse really stood out to me and came alive for me. In Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19, it says, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the field yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls." This is a very agricultural area, or at least it was where we came from today and the other days. That would be a pretty bleak picture if you did all that work for no benefit. But that's the picture that's being shown here in Habakkuk. The next phrase says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." He still calls him the God of his salvation because he hopes in that. And then the next phrase is what just jumped off the page to me. No pun intended. "The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high hills." And as I read my Bible in my bedroom and I look out my window and I see those deer, I'm like, I get it now, God. Like, you give me feet that can do things that human feet don't do. And you give me sure-footedness, even especially in the times when life seems bleak and unproductive. He gives us the ability to walk through life during that time in strength. And that's who our God is. We'd like to share with you a song, a brand new song at FBS, "In the High Hills."
Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit adorn the vine, though the fields may fail at harvest, not a single gain in sight, though my labor ends in life.
passes and my expectation fades, I will choose to keep rejoicing in the faithful God who saves, and he will strengthen my feeble feet, swift and steady like a deer on the mountain peaks. I may hiking in the hills that only few would dare to climb, traipsing in the places nearly reaching to the sky. I'll be marching over mountains with a sure and steady stride, way above the windmills. I'll be hiking in the high hills. There's a reason for rejoicing, for a glad and grateful song. Though I may be left with nothing, I will always have my God. He will somehow make me able to traverse the rough terrain. So I will choose to keep rejoicing in the faithful God who saves, and he will strengthen my feeble feet, swift and steady like a deer on the mountain peaks. I'll be hiking in the hills that only few would dare to climb, traipsing in the places nearly reaching to the sky. I'll be marching over mountains with a sure and steady stride, way above the windmills. I'll be hiking in the high hills. I'll be strolling in the sunlight with a strength beyond my own, light and limber in the timber as I climb to each plateau. In creation's elevations as I tread the great unknown, tread the great unknown.
Telling you a little bit about my daughter earlier, and she is now 7.5 years old. It would be very important to say the half. If you have children, it's very important that you say the half. She's 7.5, and I think we just had either, I think she just had either her 23rd or 24th surgery on her little body, and it's hard to see her go through that. And the Lord has blessed her with such an amazing disposition, and she loves Jesus. I don't know how to say it. If I wish everybody could meet her, or she could be here with me so you could see her. But I remember as a mom of a child with special needs, the different mountains that you climb, you know, when you go through something like that. I remember I had a job that I loved. I was a choral director in a public school, middle schoolers, 6th through 8th grade. So they came in with high-pitched voices, and they left with low voices. Yeah, she's like, oh. I absolutely loved that job. And I remember after a concert, I was in my choral classroom, and I was organizing music. And I remember as I stood there, the thought came into my head, actually, I think I might have been talking out loud to myself, but you never do that, right? Never. I remember talking to myself out loud, and I said, there is nothing that will ever make me quit this job. And then immediately, the Holy Spirit put into my mind, I guess unless I were to have a child with special needs. And I think that the Lord was preparing my heart. And I went home, and my husband and I drove to work together, and we were driving home, and I said, what if we were to have a child? This is before we had any children at all. I said, what if we had a child with special needs? And my husband's response, again, the Holy Spirit, my husband's response was, well, actually, I'm kind of fully expecting that we will have a child with special needs. And the Lord ended up giving us our daughter. I remember, as I was sitting in my piano room one day, and I was with my piano, and I was with this little baby who could not crawl like every other baby, who could not move like every other baby. I was very discouraged. We were at the hospital all the time. I remember just sitting there and thinking, what if this is all that I have now? What if I have to give up music, which was my passion? And I remember the Lord saying, you know, Kristen, what if this is all? Would you be okay if I was your only audience? Would you be content? And I remember the words to I Surrender All came to mind. And so I took the words of I Surrender All, I kind of did something different with it, and I tried to focus more on the word all as opposed to surrender, because we are all called to surrender, but how many times do we give him all? It's hard to give him all, the thing that is the most precious to you.
To Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I would ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. All I give, my all to him, to the one who gave his all for me.
To Jesus I surrender, make me Savior wholly thine.
Let your Holy Spirit fill me, truly know your power divine. All to Jesus I surrender, feed the fire, this sacred flame. And the joy of full salvation, here's my living sacrifice today. I surrender all. I surrender all to you.
Well, do you remember 2 years ago when we were all wondering what normal would ever look like again? We were all wondering when it would all blow over and just be normal again. Well, as we come to find out, we're living a new normal, right? I remember during that time, we were able, thankfully, we had planned, of course, all of 2020 for our tours, but the Lord was very gracious. In fact, it's a good thing we go to a little bit of a smaller churches, because those ones we were allowed to go to because there weren't as many people at those churches, but it was a blessing to be able to still travel. But during that rough year is when this next song was written. And I don't know about you, but as I traveled around, I would hear stories of people, you know, yes, of course, the pandemic was putting a strain on a lot of things. The political situation was putting a strain on a lot of things. But I was finding out that even God was just using that time, or perhaps even Satan was taking advantage of that time as well in people's hearts and in their homes. And I know that was the case in my home. There were things in my heart and my home that were heavier than all the pandemic and politics put aside, or together. And so this song kind of spilled out, and that's kind of the songs I was writing during that time, ones that just kind of came out. In fact, the song I Can't But You Can, that was exactly what I just blurted out to the Lord a few times. Lord, I just can't do this. I can't. And so this next song was a prayer that I would just say, Lord, settle my unsettledness. And that's the title of this next song. And as I walked through my neighborhood during 2020, we had a lot of time on our hands, right? So I would regularly walk around my neighborhood, and I would take my phone with me and jot down lyrics to this next song, which really is just a 6-anthem prayer. When I'm feeling this unsettled, Lord, when I just almost want to grab hold of something just to steady me, I would pray, settle my unsettledness, and I would think of verses that would help to do that. And so I'd like to share with you this song, Settle My Unsettledness.
Settle my unsettledness and let me be at rest. Fix my meditation firmly on your faithfulness, and if the mountains crumble, dissolve into the sea, let all the world be witness of the peace you give to me. Settle my unsettledness when troubles grip and squeeze. Help me welcome every weakness so your power can rest on me. Perplexed yet not despairing, and pressed yet never crushed. Yes, this the gospel wonder, your grace that holds me up, that holds me up. Settle my unsettledness by daily drinking deep of great and precious promises that I know you're sure to keep. With darkness growing darker, yes, plunging into night, may words divinely given now flood my way with light, with light. Settle my unsettledness and set my lips ablaze to answer my anxiety with loud, courageous praise, to conquer every worry with the echo of my thanks, to sing your worth and goodness, for that will strengthen my resolve to stand up to the crowd who gives no thought to you at all. And as I walk a stranger in the enemy's domain, oh, hide me in your presence. Let me travel unafraid. sorrow's faintest quiver will cease when I'm home. Well, we have one last song to share with you here this evening, but before we do, I wanted to just make a quick invite to our product table. You can't miss it, those big red tablecloths back there. A few days ago, as we were at the rental car company, they said, well, we don't have the car you reserved, but we have, I don't know if you called it an upgrade, but it's a cracker box. It's a small one. we're thankful for it. It gets great gas mileage, but we have a lot of luggage, so help lighten our load tonight by buying our products. That's my plug. We brought our 6 albums with us tonight. We have the physical CDs, but if you also don't have a CD player, or you've fully immersed yourself in the digital age, we can also get you digital albums tonight as well. The song I played on the piano is a song that my mom and I or some books. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that slide. That is our new CD, Lord willing, coming out in about 2 months. I'm very excited. A number of songs that we've sung in this program are brand new ones, are planning to be on that CD. And so that's all recorded and just kind of waiting to be finalized. So stay tuned for that. The song I played on the piano is a collaboration that my mom and I did about 10 years ago. We put these two piano books together. Calendar of Worship, Calendar of Praise, two different books with 12 songs each, one fitting for each month of the year. And then we also have a Christmas piano book, and we also have a choral book that can be for a church choir. It can also be a solo book or a duet book if you know how to pick out the parts. Anything that we have published from Forever Be Sure is available on our website, foreverbesure.com. And anything, whether it be a book, a CD, or just one piece of sheet music, can be an instant download. You can purchase it there on our site. I manage 3 different platforms. One of them is our website, of course. One of them is Facebook, Forever Be Sure Music Publications. And then we have our YouTube channel as well. And I just need to put a plug in there for that. We just created a sequel to the Drip Drip song. So if that just piques your interest, you got to check that out. It's called The Men Speak Back. Think about that. But we would encourage you to sign up. We have a sheet on the back table there. If you could print your name legibly, and we'll keep in contact with you there. And this last slide, I slipped into this program last tour. We are prayerfully asking the Lord to just continue to expand the reach of our music. And I do that. I just believe that this music can minister to people, because if you know your Jesus and you know your Bible, I believe that it can have a ministry. And so I desire that ministry to expand. And so in order to do that, we're just prayerfully putting the ask out. If God would lay it on your heart to be a partner, of course we need prayer, safety in our travels, prayer for how we arrange our music. But if that would be you tonight and you'd like to undergird our ministry financially, we'd love to talk to you about that as well. This last song, I keep track of all the songs I've written over the course of 16 years, right? And I've written about a little over 100 songs. Now, I don't say that to impress, but the number kind of stood out to me when I got to number 100. And it's about around that time that I wrote this song. And I thought, what a great 100th song. It's on a very important theme, I think one that should be celebrated to the nth degree as a believer. And it's on the love of God. And as I write songs, it interests me how certain songs have been very, very hard to write and to record and to perform or whatever. They're just harder for some reason. And one of the ones back in the day that I had written was centered exactly on the gospel. And it was just really hard to write, and I almost crumpled it and threw it out my window. But I didn't. I persevered, and I trust the Lord will use that song. But it was about the gospel. I'm like, this is a really important theme in the Christian life. Well, this one is about God's love, and it was hard to write, it was hard to record, it was hard for my orchestrator to orchestrate, but it makes me all the more want to make sure it gets to the finish line and gets out there, because God's love is something beyond our understanding. It is so precious to me. In my most difficult moments, I remember one night I went to bed at 6 o'clock. I had just had it that day. I was just done for. You know, I probably blew up at my kids. I don't know what I did. I was just very guilty, down, and I'm just like, I give up on this day. I'm going to bed. And the Lord brought one of my favorite verses to mind in that moment, Psalm 73. He whispered into my ear, not audibly, but in my heart, Nevertheless, even though your day has been really crummy, Heather, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. He holds me by my right hand. He will guide me with his counsel and afterward receive me to glory. He's committed to me on my worst days. And that is a love beyond any human love we can really truly understand. And so we would love to share this last song with you called Love Like Your Own.
To save the strong and the healthy, the bold and the brave. You sought the sinners who all turned aside. We were the targets of love divine. Who can know your ways? Who can know your thoughts? Who can know the greatness of the love you pour on us? It's stronger, deeper, higher. Oh, help us come to know there is no other with love like your own. There is no other with love like your own. No, no love, love like your own, your own. If you marked the sins of our past, who then among us before you could stand? But you gave pardon and mercy you poured. This is the God we fear and adore. Who can know your ways? Who can know your thoughts? Who can know the greatness of the love you pour on us? It's broader, deeper, higher. Oh, help us come to know. There is no other with love like your own. There is no other with love like your own.
Like your own.
You don't wait to whisper your love till out of the pit. We've risen above. Deep in higher, the closer you
closer
come.
Though
we forget you, you think of us. You think of us. Who can know your ways?
Who can know your ways?
Who can know your thoughts?
Who can know the greatness
of the love you pour on us? Broader, deeper,
it's
higher,
deeper,
oh, help us come to know. There is no other with love like your own. There is no other with love like your own. Love like your own.
Like your own.
And you get the glory the more that we learn of your love. And you get the trophy. The greater our worship and praise,
the greater our worship,
greater our worship, greater our worship and praise.
Who can know your ways?
Who can know your thoughts? Who can know the greatness of the love?